Welcome to this Introduction to Rhinoceros by Eugene Ionesco, translated and directed by Omar Elerian. The audio described performance will be on Saturday the 19th of April at 2 p.m. with the touch tour at 12 p.m. The introductory notes will start 15 minutes before the performance. The production lasts for approximately 2 hours and 30 minutes, including an interval, and will be audio described by Jenny Stewart Cosgrove and Miranda Yates. Information on the Almeida's website says, a provincial town in France, Jean meets his friend Berenger for a drink, but things take an unexpected turn when a rhinoceros charges through the town square. After all, there are no rhinoceroses in France, right? Suddenly, one by one, the townspeople are transforming into the thing they first feared. An epidemic has taken hold and rhinoceritis is spreading like wildfire until there are almost no human beings left. Please note, the production contains references to alcoholism, the use of a replica gun, latex, haze, flashing lights, and sudden loud noises, including a gunshot. The play is in the style of theatre of the absurd, characterised by surreal imagery, disjointed dialogue, and unconventional plot lines that deliberately create a disjointed and disorienting theatrical experience. The audience is central to the experience, with performers frequently breaking the fourth wall to engage and interact directly with them. There's a cast of 8, 5 men and 3 women. Essentially, they're an ensemble who work together to tell the story, at times playing named characters, and at other times responding to narration by physically mapping out the features of the location referred to or producing live sound effects from the sides of the space. They often actively respond to the narration with quizzical looks or exaggerated shoulder shrugging or rolling their eyes. Despite this, they're completely obedient and committed to the unfolding action. With the exception of Berenger, they're all dressed in calf-length pristine white cotton coats, a bit like lab coats, but with vented backs, Nehru collars and poppers that are done up to their throats. Each coat has 2 large rectangular pockets on the right and left hip. They wear their character costumes beneath the coats. Later, some cast members are dressed in grey trousers and grey button-down shirts worn with pumpkin-coloured ties and black shoes. We first meet the narrator, a white man in his early 50s of medium height and build, with an easy physicality punctuated by large, expansive gestures. His ruddy face has light blue eyes that sparkle with mischief and a friendly smile. His fair hair recedes from his high forehead and is styled in wisps that stand on end at the front and sides. Later, the same actor plays Botard, a blustering council worker with his face set in a sneer of disbelief. Botard wears loose-fitting grey trousers held up by brown braces and teamed with a white shirt, cream tie and polished brown leather shoes. He has square brown-framed glasses perched on his nose. Jean is a short, medium-build white man in his 30s with a round, pale face, beady blue eyes and a thin-lipped mouth set with a slight downturn as though he's perpetually disappointed. He has light brown curly hair slicked down at the sides and styled into an extravagant quiff at the front that flops over his right eye. He wears beige loose-fitting slacks, a white shirt, and a sunshine yellow tie. His outfit is completed with bright yellow patent shoes. Later, he's dressed in baggy forest green velvet pyjamas, and his feet are bare. Berenger is a tall, broad-shouldered black man in his 30s, with a serious expression on his handsome face. His dark brown eyes are often framed with a furrowed brow. He has a neatly trimmed full black beard, and his afro hair is cut short and tinted rusty orange on top. His clothes are casual, bordering on unkempt. He wears light brown trousers, topped with a grey t-shirt under a maroon cotton shirt, and finished with a rust-coloured corduroy jacket. His trousers finish above the ankle, showing his maroon socks, and he wears brown thick-soled lace-ups. Berenger always seems to be one step behind the action, as though he's playing catch-up, and often regards the others with a puzzled expression or a questioning look. Daisy is a tall, slim, mixed-heritage woman in her early 30s with light brown skin, large brown eyes and a pouting mouth. Her dark brown wavy hair is combed into a centre parting and is flat on top, then fanning out in a thick wild bouffant to her collar. She's dressed in wide-leg electric blue trousers with a high waist and a cuff that almost touches the floor but stops short enough to show her teal slip-ons with a little bow at the toes and a high heel. On top, she has a pale blue chiffon blouse worn under a mint green wool vest with a pale blue bow motif on the chest. Daisy has a dreamy expression and moves with languorous precision, using big gestures and regarding others with clear-eyed earnestness. Dudard is a slim, mid-height white man in his early 40s, with a sharp nose and thin-lipped smile framed by a black pencil moustache and a small tuft of black beard in the centre of his chin. His brown eyes stare wide-eyed from behind round metal-framed glasses, which he removes and swings in his hand when pondering. He's dressed in a sage-green short-sleeved shirt, tucked into high-waisted smoke-grey trousers worn with maroon braces. A pumpkin orange tie and black lace-up shoes complete the look. Dudard paces the space, hands buried deep in his trouser pockets, stopping with exaggerated intention when he delivers his opinions and ideas. He also plays the piano. In his white coat, the same actor plays the logician, who speaks in a soft northern accent. He either stands or paces, with one arm folded across his body to support the elbow of his other arm, which he uses to make small, illustrative gestures as he explains his reasoning. Mr. Papillon is a distinguished-looking white man in his 60s, with a snow-white beard and hooded blue eyes. His white hair is curled out at the sides and combed back from his high forehead, where it stands on end like the crest of a wave. He has a slow and steady rhythm to his movements, interlacing his fingers and leaning back a little, sure of his authority. He wears a dark navy blue suit with brass buttons on the front and cuffs. His shirt is midnight blue, and he finishes his outfit with a blue and white polka dot bow tie, matching silk scarf and pocket square. The same actor also appears as the old gent. For this, he leaves his ensemble white coat on and moves with a careful placement of his feet, his rounded shoulders a little stooped. Mrs. Burff is a small white woman in her 50s with a pinched lined face, large watery blue eyes and an expressive mouth. Her cloud grey hair is backcombed into a frazzled shock that halos her head and stands stiff and proud. She wears a slate grey shift dress that hangs in a straight cut to her calf. It's teamed with a steel blue raincoat, black sheer tights and flat black loafers. She has a matching silk shawl patterned with orange and gold draped over her shoulders. She clutches her black leather handbag like a lifeline and rests her hand on her chest when she's overcome. The same actor plays a grocer. For this, she leaves on her ensemble white coat and marches around the space with a busy, fizzing energy. We also meet a lady. She's a tall, slim white woman with long, honey blonde hair caught up in a high, smooth ponytail. Her fringe has been rolled so it bounces just above her eyebrows with pronounced fervour. Her blue eyes are picked out with black mascara and she has ruby red lips. The lady wears the ensemble white coat but has added long red satin gloves and oversized sunglasses. Below the hem of the coat, a pair of bright red drainpipe trousers and red patent slip-on shoes are visible. The same actor later plays a firefighter in full uniform of navy blue and black utilitarian trousers and jacket, bordered in fluorescent yellow, and a bright yellow helmet with plastic face visor. The space before us is painted a pristine white. At the front, two deep steps run across the entire 16-metre width of the space. In the centre, a step higher than the surrounding stage floor, is a large rectangular platform about 6 metres wide, and 4 metres front to back, where the main action in the story unfolds. At the front, about a metre to the right and left of the platform, are two microphones on tall mic stands. A little further to the left and right are two block-like tables used by the ensemble to create Foley sound effects. Each has a variety of objects on the surface, with microphones angled over them. Among the objects there's a large watermelon and a typewriter. Other freestanding objects used for Foley sound effects are pushed up to the far sides, including on the right, a small wooden door in a frame. There are also several white metal chairs with thin frames and open backs. Over the back of one of the chairs is a white tote bag with the image of a pink designer handbag on one side. At the back to the left, a metre-wide block of 6 steps leads up to a raised stage, which runs across the width of the back of the space, and is covered by a white gauze curtain. During the performance, video imagery is occasionally projected across it. When the curtain opens, the curved brick wall is revealed a couple of metres back. On the far right is a white painted upright piano, and to the left, a handrail and steps that lead down under the stage and out of sight. Within the side of the block of steps, and at the front of the raised stage, are a number of concealed doors. Across the front are three porthole-sized white grills, and on the far right, three white horizontal metal bars act as rungs to step up and down from the raised stage. Cast and production credits. The Logician and Dudard are played by John Biddle. Mrs. Burf is played by Hayley Carmichael. Berenger is played by Sopé Disarou. The narrator and Botard are played by Paul Hunter. Daisy is played by Anushka Lucas. Jean is played by Joshua Maguire. The lady is played by Sophie Steer. The old gent and Mr. Papillon are played by Alan Williams. The set and costume designer is Anna Inez Jabares-Pitta. The lighting designer is Jackie Shemesh. The sound designer is Elena Pena. The musical direction and original music is by John Biddle. The choreographer and movement director is Toby Sedgwick. The associate director is Georgia Murphy. Rhinoceros is written by Eugene Ionesco and translated and directed by Omar Elerian. This is the end of the introduction to Rhinoceros at the Almeida Theatre. If you require more information regarding your visit, please contact the box office on 0207 359 4404 or email access@almeida.co.uk.